This is Teddy Teapot with Teddy Mellencamp.
Okay, so this week's episode is a real doozy. Not only do I get to talk with some of my favorite people and TV aficionados, we get to talk about one of my favorite things, which shows we are binging. What do we need to be watching right now? I know we're all on a break and we have the time. So what do we need to dig into? I know I have my personal faves. Plus, sometimes I fancy myself an investigator and I love to figure out the ending before the ending. So we've got Justin Sylvester on, can margarita drinking, talking about binge watching television shows. He's having a day. He's having a moment. That being said, he is one of my favorite people. And I love you because of the fact of you have a moment. You're funny. I love your opinions on everything. You are super talented. And I know you've got the goods on what we need to tell these teapotters what to binge watch right now.
Oh, there's only a few things that you need to watch. Okay. Oh,
okay. What are
there's only a few things you need to watch. Besides me drinking a margarita at 12 o'clock in the afternoon at work. Okay. Shonda Rhimes is coming out with her first hit since leaving ABC. It's called Bridgerton. It's a period piece that's set in London in the 1800s. And it's basically Page Six, but from the beginning. It's about gossip, it's about sex, it's about scandals, and it all happens in the times of Marie Antoinette.
When does this come out? Do we know?
This comes out on Christmas, girl.
What? So this is perfect.
This comes out on Christmas. So, like, you cannot miss it.
Okay, so that is perfect. And then, but what else? I've already watched, okay, so I've watched The Undoing, I've watched Queen's Gambit, I've watched, what's that other tiny little pretties, or what is that?
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. But have you seen, I'm going to give you one, have you seen Murder on Middle Beach?
Oh, yes, of course, saw it.
Okay, wait, what did you think about it?
I thought... I am obsessed. I needed to understand how these women really thought of these gifting tables. Like, they're so justified. They're like, what? We're just
no, people are really into them. People are really into them.
Do you remember when we were younger and you would like get a note in the mail from like a friend and it'd be like,
yes,
spend $1 to so-and-so with like a book recommendation?
Yes.
What were we doing?
Exactly what everybody was doing in this thing, listening to somebody that they knew. Like, it's just the craziest thing I have ever heard in my life. I am too young for gifting tables, but a friend of mine was just involved in one. And when I saw Murder on Middle Beach, I was like, bitch, you have got to see this.
Ugh, it's so good. It's so good. But so was Tiny Pretty Things.
It's, wait, hold on.
How do you not
know? Do I need to watch this?
Yes. After an attack brings down the star student at a ballet school, her enters a world of lies, betrayal, and cutthroat competition.
Yes. I saw that. I saw that preview for that whole thing. You know what? I don't believe somebody would push a bitch off of like a four-story building, but I'm here to watch it.
Are you one of the people that like watch The Crown and are all into season four?
Are you not?
No, I'm like falling. I can't. I haven't gotten to season four because I can't get through season one.
But how is that happening? I feel like if you love Diana, you have to watch The Crown.
I watched the Diana documentary that's on Netflix, which I learned a lot of things that I didn't know.
In her own words?
Yes, amazing.
Okay, but this is the problem. You need to get as far as, you need to get to like episode 4 of said Crown. Like 5,
that
yes.
That is too much commitment. Like Queen's Gambit, they say like you had to get through episode 1, which was correct. I can get through something, but 4 hours? To get to
4 hours. Look, I don't have 3 children. I have 4 children running around my goddamn house, one that I'm breastfeeding and another one that's like running around trying to be on camera. So I don't know what it's like. I know I have 4 hours to get through some shit. and I love every minute of it.
Did you watch the second season of Dead to Me?
Yes. Did you like it?
I didn't like it as much as the first, but I still liked it.
Yeah, because it's too close to your life.
But then also my other show, like I'm like the one that I'm on, you know, 18 years or whatever it is of Grey's Anatomy. I'm super depressed watching this year because it's during the pandemic.
But first and foremost, how are you devoting 18 years of your life to motherfucking Grey's Anatomy, but you can't get 4 hours to The Crown?
Well, this is actually what happened. I didn't dedicate that through 18 years. It was when I was on bed rest with Slate. I watched about, I don't know, 14 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
I feel like you are one of these women, and don't get mad at me because I know we're friends. I feel like you're one of these women where the doctor called you on Monday and said you're off of bed rest, but you still continued it until Thursday. Please tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I'm wrong. You know,
there was a time that they were like, this could be partial bed rest. And I was like, F it.
I knew it.
What's partial mean?
I knew it.
Are you a Schitt's Creek person?
Yes. Did you watch it?
No. I don't like comedies.
Hold on. Let me slap you across this thing. By the way, you don't have to like comedies. All you have to do is like Catherine O'Hare.
Okay, but I don't want to be laughing.
But this is the jam. You don't need to laugh the whole time, okay? You could be an emo and just love the fashion and love her acting and kill it. If you were a fan of Beetlejuice, for those of you who don't know who Catherine O'Hara is, she played Lita Yedid's mom, and she was phenomenal. She also played Kevin McAllister's mom in Home Alone.
Who's considered world's worst mom in that movie.
Well, of course, if you leave your child at home while you're going to Paris, basically you're the world's worst mom.
So what do you think, since we can't go anywhere for New Year's or whatever it is, like, what are we going to watch? What are we going to do? I know you like, you want to watch something happy. So let's.
No. Cause you know what? I'm a practical bitch. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
If you got kids, there are a few movies coming out that you can get on streaming services where you don't have to break the bank, take all your kids, your husband to the movies, buy the popcorn, end up spending $97 only for your four-year-old to want to walk out and not go back in. So what you could do is you can rent The Croods Part 2, A New Age is coming out. It's a Universal movie.
Watched it. You guys have to get it. It's so good.
It's so damn good. Okay.
I loved it. It's so worth it. And like, I already told somebody to watch it and they gave me it's $19.99. I'm like, when you went to the movie theaters, how much do you think it costs? Not to mention, you had to go to dinner before the movie theaters and your kids are so hungry. You're spending $150 to go to the movie where you could just sit at home and watch this.
And by the way, you got 24 hours. Share that password, sis. Throw somebody else a blessing. Okay. That's all you got to do is share that blessing. Now.
Okay. What else?
If you're not into The Croods and you want something a little more elevated with a deeper meaning, if you go and look up Soul, it's with Angela Bassett and with Jamie Foxx, and it's from Pixar. It's for the family, but I feel like even if you don't have kids, if you're lonely and single like me, this is still a great animated movie to watch. It's about a man who has been trying to break into the music business for a very long time. And the day he gets his big break, he falls down a manhole and his body gets disconnected from his soul. And his soul has to go through a journey to find his body again and live his dream. It's the most beautiful movie, and it's actually, I think, going to be nominated for Best Picture.
All right, well, I'm writing that down. We'll see. I'll hold you to that. And then you just brought up that you were single, so I'm not trying to kick you here. I'm just saying, when you're single and feeling a little low, what do you watch to really bring on the sadness?
Oh, I go to the classics. Family Stone, done. Stepmom, done. Love Actually at Christmas, done. But what I'm going to do, Sylvie's Love, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. You need to Google it. Tessa Thompson. It's going to be the greatest romantic movie of 2020. I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. I'm not going to fuck this up for you. it's going to be the one. That's going to be the one.
Okay. Then what do you think was the most hyped up show that was overrated this year?
Besides Tiger King.
You didn't enjoy watching it?
I, you know what? I did. But I wonder if everybody wasn't stuck in their houses, scared of protests, scared of COVID, scared of the murder hornets, would we have been as hyped up as we were? And by the way, we were all drunk. We were all drunk in March. We were all fucked up in March.
Well, in March, we still thought like this was going to be a couple weeks.
Oh, like, yeah. Like,
yes. This is a couple weeks. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's watch the Tiger King. I watched something else during that time, but now I can't remember what it was. And like, I was like, Carol Baskin, I'm wearing my leopard. And then, no.
The worst.
No, we're going into next March.
I'm having a margarita at work.
You know what? I would if I wasn't hungover right now. So I'm really
doing what where'd you go last night?
Oh, I can't say, but I think you have a feeling. I wore a holiday dress.
On a scale from 1 to 10.
There's not even a number I can give.
Did they make you work for that money?
Make it rain!
Right?
Oh gosh. We got a, okay, favorite reality show.
My favorite reality show did not, oh, actually, I will take it back. Real Housewives of Potomac. Salt Lake City.
No.
Right now.
So do I need to watch that?
You need to get with it ASAP. First of all, get with Potomac, yes. If you haven't seen Potomac, I'm telling you right now, what you need to do, I'm gonna give you the easy guide to catching up on Potomac. All you have to do is go back one season, watch the 3 reunions, and then go into the newest seasons and watch the last season. And we're on the second part of the reunion right now. So you can actually catch up.
Potomac, I'm obsessed with. It's probably my favorite, but I haven't watched Salt Lake City.
It is unbelievable. Everybody, honestly, I usually hate when housewives, you know, come in and have a character that they want to play. Like one of them wants to be the glitzy girl. The other one wants to be the workout Barbie. This one wants to be this because they watch, you know, they watch Beverly Hills. They watch New York. They watch Orange County. And they kind of come through. And what they do is they say, I'm going to be the Teddy Mellencamp or the Kyle Richards or the Erica Jane. What's going on in Potomac? I mean, what's going on in Salt Lake City, excuse me, is something that we've never seen before. We're talking about lives of 6 women that revolve around a religion, which is unprecedented. The Mormon Church is one of the hardest churches to crack in.
Next, so are they all LDS? Everybody on the show is LDS?
It's half and half. Half have left, half are still in. Some are practicing, some are not practicing, some want in, some don't want in. So there is so many layers to it that you get a different sense of what the religion is. It's really, really fascinating. You're also talking about a city that's run by Mormons.
Do you want to know one thing that I always find a little curious about LDS? You cannot have coffee. Coffee is out. But yes. I see everybody popping Red Bulls because that's not in their Bible.
Hold on. Let me, first and foremost, that's the only thing you find particularly strange about LDS?
No, don't get me wrong. And I know this is an LDS, but sometimes I can understand the appeal of having a sister wife.
I'm telling you right now, if I had my way, bitch, I would have a sister wife and I would be a sister wife. I wouldn't want to be the main bitch. I would want to be the side chick that comes later on who jumps in and jumps out.
The cuter one?
The cuter one who doesn't have the kids. Like, I want to help you, but I want to be able to go back to my house and chill out. I don't know why people are upset about it.
Would you consider being mine?
All day. I love your husband. Your kids are cute. I'm cool. As long as I can make the Christmas card, we Gucci.
We did a pretty good job on the Christmas card this year. I'm just saying.
Have you heard of what's going on with Bronwyn Burke Windham from Real Housewives of Orange County?
Yes.
So I think at some point they are going to be sister wives.
Oh, but is that legal here? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you want to be married and have a side chick. People do it all the time.
You can't legally be married to two people.
No, but you can let somebody move in. You can let somebody live under your roof. I smell that this is going to happen for she and her new girlfriend. I think this is going to get way more serious than we have than we expect. I think that Sean is out of the picture 20 days out of the month, and he is okay with her having a girlfriend. He obviously does not want to split up his family. He does not want to split up the money. So he might build old girl a second wing of the house.
But you know, want to know where it's going to get messy? It might be all fine and dandy, but when Sean brings in his girlfriend, it ain't going to be no fun. I see your face right now, but you're wrong.
You don't think Sean's brought his girlfriend over already?
Well, no, I mean, to actually live there.
You don't think Sean, first and foremost, no. Sean travels 25 days out of the month. You do the math. Yeah. Sean's probably got hoes in different area codes. Let's be real. But we can't judge it because it works for them. It's their marriage. This is what they've agreed to. And people can't judge it. And if I had six kids and my wife said, I don't want to be with men. Seven kids. If I had seven kids and my wife said to me, I'm not attracted to men, I think I want to explore this other side of myself. Before I end my marriage, I'm going to say, you know what? You go explore. Let's keep this thing going and let's come back in a year and a half and see how you feel. This might be a phase for her. You never know.
You never know. Ugh, I wish we could talk for hours, but now I have to go. We have to take a break, and it's sadness. And I want to be having that marg with you right now and talk about a million other things.
Oh, trust me. When you go to commercial break, we're having a conversation.
Thank you so much. And next guest is Jen Lammers. I am so excited to have her on. I need to know every little show that makes people tick. I feel like that's the way that I get to know you. So we're going to start off, favorite show you've watched in 2020.
Oh my God. Okay. We're going to find out a lot about me then. I made it my mission this year to binge watch all the shows that everybody's been talking about, like in the last 10 years.
Okay.
So my shows are all like, so I feel like I can relate to other people, right? 90 Day Fiancé has become my quarantine weakness.
Okay. I've heard a lot. I've watched a touch of it. I have, but the friends that I do watch, see, I'm a Bachelor girl.
Like, okay. Yes.
But not necessarily The Bachelor anymore. I just like Bachelor in Paradise.
Like the spinoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm on a group text, but they've all moved on to 90 Day Fiancé. They're like, we don't want to talk about this anymore. And I'm like, I'm not a traitor.
Let me tell you, once you watch one episode, you're going to watch all of them. I've watched all the spinoffs, like all the franchises. I am such an addict. It's not even funny. So I've also started watching, there's a couple of shows that everybody's already watched already. So Stranger Things, I'm on season 2.
My
Don't
kids
tell me what happens. Okay. And The Walking Dead. So I know there's like a million seasons there and I've watched like two of them. I can tell you that some of the newer shows that I've watched, I'm kind of like a guy's girl. Like I like guy humor.
Right.
So I have been binging Big Mouth.
I don't even know what that is. How have I missed this? Who's in it?
So it's Nick Kroll. It's actually an animated series, but it's not appropriate for kids. It's about all these preteens who are going through puberty and like the funny side of that. So Nick Kroll is the executive producer and he also voices over like 80 characters. He's so talented. But I love the show.
All right. Have you done Ozark? We started that.
Yeah.
And the problem is that my son comes into our room in the middle of the night sometimes to sleep. Not the middle of the night, but like it's like 11 or something. And if we have fallen asleep while watching it and Ozark is playing when he comes in, there's like the craziest sex scenes ever. And I have to be like,
always like,
I'm like, oh, sorry, bud. Like,
I know.
So did you
I watched a couple seasons of Ozark, and then I dropped off. But I'm also like a huge true crime person.
Me too.
Have you watched the Unsolved Mysteries reboot?
Of course I have.
Yes.
But like it has a different type of feel than the original Unsolved Mysteries to me, because I think maybe I've decided I'm more of an investigator in my more adult age. And so I want answers.
Right. So like in the original version, Robert Stack was the narrator and he kind of took people through the stories. But this time they actually let the victims tell the stories for themselves. And like they interview all these people. So, and I think it's different. This still the same like creepy opening music. It scares the daylights out of me and I love it. I don't know why. The Ripper is also something that I've gotten addicted to.
I'm taking notes.
It's a limited series. It's on Netflix. It's about a a serial killer who was around during the 70s and 80s in England.
Were you a Handmaid's Tale kind of gal?
I actually never watched that show.
I didn't either, but everybody said like, oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. But no, didn't do it.
You never watched it either?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one, because everybody talks about it. And like, if you don't watch it, then you're completely left out.
You're missing out. And Succession, I bought it. I spent the money to do it. And then I didn't watch it.
I watched the first couple episodes and I don't know why I didn't get sucked in. I heard that you have to go through like the first few and then you're hooked.
But that's what I was just
a huge fan.
Well, that I have Justin Sylvester on earlier in this episode, and he was telling me the same thing about The Crown. I'm like, I'm not willing.
Okay, that's one I actually have watched.
You went through the first season?
I did. Only because I'm fascinated by the royal family. And I don't know why. I just feel like, you know, modern day royalty, what that's like. And then this season 4, you get to know Princess Diana. And Emma Corrin is her doppelganger. She's so good. It's so eerie to like watch her put on the wedding dress and, you know, she's just so good at it.
All right. I mean, maybe I need to try to commit.
It's up and down. I mean, there's some episodes that are kind of like, you know, a little boring and not much action happens, but then you have these like redeeming episodes that set stories up
What do you think the most overrated show that you've watched? Mm. Like the one that everybody's like, you have to watch it. And then
Emily in Paris.
Oh, well, Emily in Paris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Emily in Paris. That's I'm sorry. That alone makes it overrated for me.
That tweet. No.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, I watched a few episodes. I didn't get hooked because I just thought that like all the guys, even the Uber drivers in the show are smoking hot. Like it's not, to me, it's realistic. Not realistic at all.
No, I agree. I agree. I feel that way. I also felt that way about, hold on. I'm trying to think of what, now I'm blanking. I'm a hot mess express today. But I feel like there's been some shows that people are just gravitating to. And it was a doctor show, like a docu-series, and everybody got really into it and I didn't like it.
A doctor show. Oh God.
I know.
I can't think of it either. I do know of a couple of shows that, do you like Euphoria?
I loved Euphoria.
Yeah, that's coming back for season 2 this month, at the end of this month.
So but I definitely kind of would feel sick after watching it, but I was still obsessed.
I mean, it made all of us seem like nuns in high school.
I know. I was like, wow, I was so good.
Yeah. I didn't do any of this stuff. I don't think anybody did. Like,
the spin the bottle in the closet was, you know. My gosh. But thank you so much for joining us and digging in and taking the time. In closing, on New Year's Eve this year, if you have to watch something, what would it be?
It's going to be Walking Dead.
I mean, listen, you know what?
I hard, so.
You know, it's very fitting.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much. If you guys love Jen, make sure to check her out. Weeknights on Extra TV. Check your local listings. And now, guys, we're bringing on Brianne Heldman, who is a senior editor at People Magazine. She knows all things pop culture. So I need to know, like, reality television wise, we can't go Housewives because I already had Justin Sylvester on and we've talked about that. What should we be watching?
Ooh, reality wise. Well, there's a really fun show coming in January on Netflix called Bling Empire. Okay. And if you are a Bravo fan, this is going to be your jam. It follows this super wealthy group of friends in LA, and they go to these crazy over-the-top parties. They're constantly stabbing each other in the back. In the first few episodes, there's a huge fight over one woman who buys the same super blingy necklace as another woman. And it's drama. That girl then gets seated down at the end of the table at a dinner party, which is just...
Oh, that could really...
Seating matters.
Seating, I've learned that the hard way. Definitely learned that the hard way. So
that one is really fun. Of course, there is a really fun holiday-themed reality show called 12 Dates of Christmas that has since
ended.
It's very cute, another dating show, very in the Bachelor vein, but it all is around which guy are you going to take home to your parents for Christmas?
I love that. I actually,
so it's like Bachelor plus Hallmark.
That would be great. And then what is something that you have started binging a little bit during this pandemic?
Well, I've done a lot of binging. I actually was behind the eight ball on Killing Eve. So that is the big one that I just finished. I'm caught up. I'm ready for season 4 in 2021. That's really fun. It's a lot more fun than I expected because it's prestige TV. You often think you're going to get a little snootiness. It's going to be a little slow. It's going to be serious. And it is not a drag. It is delightful. It is firecrackers. If you have not watched it, definitely check that out.
Too.
It's so much more fun than I expected.
Do we get the morning show back again soon? I'm really missing that one.
Oh, me too. Definitely we're getting it in 2021. They're currently in production. We'll probably pause for the holidays, but they will be back. But I wouldn't expect it in the first few months of the year.
And what do you think the most overrated show of 2020 has been?
Oh, that is a tough question. Oh man. I don't know. I mean, Tiger King. Let's be honest.
But like,
you had to watch it. It was delicious. And in hindsight, I feel a little dirty about it.
That is true. If there's one show this year in general, like for your life, or it even can be a movie that you watch over and over and over again.
I'm dying to hit play again on The Queen's Gambit. It was that good.
I know. The first episode was a little for me, and then I became obsessed. But I feel like I missed a lot.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of nuances to some of the relationships that maybe I'd get in a second go round. I'll give you another one that I really want to hit play on again. And it's a show that probably you've not heard of. It is so much fun. It is on Peacock. It's called 5 Bedrooms. And it's an Australian comedy. It is one season, 8 episodes. You can fly right through it. It is like Friends meets HGTV. It's about this group of people who meet at a wedding at the singles table. And they start talking about how expensive real estate is when you're single and you pay so much and you get so little. And they decide that, well, if we all pooled our money and got a 5-bedroom house, we could get a really baller pad. So these strangers move in together. They make this huge financial investment and hilarity ensues. There's, of course, romance. There's fights. It is so much fun. I cannot wait for season 2.
And in closing, if there was one show that you just watch because when you're not like going to bed, but like you're just toning it down for the night, you're in bed and it's just, you know, whatever it is, it could be mystery or relaxing or funny or what's that show?
I am a diehard fan of MTV's The Challenge. And now there's 2 seasons available on Netflix, super old seasons with like The Miz and Jamie Chung and all of these people that you recognize, Karamo. And now it's also like tons more seasons available on CBS All Access. So you can watch these really old seasons. And of course there are new seasons airing on MTV right now.
That's actually really exciting for me. I'm of course that person that like watches Law and Order SVU as I'm falling to sleep. And my husband's like, you're sick in the head. I'm like, he's like, dun, 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 dun. And you're like, great, I'm having a wrap totally. Up tonight. Like, I can't help myself. Oh, thank you so much for digging into this further with us. And it's so great to see you.
Of course.
Where can people find more on you?
On me, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, both as Brianne NYC.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Kate Casey is one of my faves. I slide into her DMs like every couple of weeks because I'm like, what do I need to watch now? She has a podcast all about which shows to binge watch, and she updates it nonstop. So Kate's podcast is Reality Life with Kate Casey. It's so good. It's funny. You'll also see Kate when you look in the magazines and people are wearing kind of, you know, crazy outfits. She's the comedian that writes the little quotes about it. And so she always gives me a good chuckle with that. So I already announced that I am the person that slides into your DMs quite often asking about what shows to watch.
Yeah. And
I feel like I'm a little bit struggling right now because there's certain ones that like I love for me, but also like I need some for the family too. So we need to cover the bases.
Yeah. I know. I was thinking I should put a list out for kids too. I have some great recommendations. You know, one of the great shows that a lot of people don't know about for kids is called, Discovery Unknown. Let me just double check. That's the exact name, because I want to make sure. So it's this really great anthropologist named Josh Gates, Expedition Unknown, and that is on the Discovery Channel. So he's an anthropologist. His name's Josh Gates. In every episode, he goes to a different part of the world, and he's exploring a mystery. My kids love it. So like one of the episodes was about the NASA lines. So if you are in a plane and you fly over this area of Peru, there are lines in the ground that no one can understand, and they've been there for thousands of years. And the craziest thing about it, lines are in shapes. Josh actually flies down and you go to the ground, and it would be like if you took a shovel, you couldn't even dig it, like to duplicate it. And it's very windy there. It just defies logic. So he's trying to figure out where the lines came from. So if you fly over Peru, this area, it's in the shape of like a beetle and a bee. And they're like, it looks like an Egyptian war person. And another episode, he went to dig for Cleopatra's tomb. One, he tries to find part of the crucifixion or the cross from Christ in Turkey, and he digs under this building and he finds all of these tunnels. So it's great because your kids get really excited about different points of history. And then you're also explaining to them different parts of the globe. And you're also feeling like you're on an adventure during the episode. So that's one I really recommend for families to watch together. Because even as an adult, you're like, oh my God, I didn't know about this.
Because I took to Instagram to try to find a show for my daughter and I to watch when my husband and son are watching the Rams games.
Yeah.
And everybody recommended Gilmore Girls, which I know is an oldie but goodie, but it's a little advanced for Slate. Like all of a sudden now we're like having these conversations that I'm like, I'm not sure I was really ready to have this conversation with you at age. So it's but she loves it. And I am happy that like we're opening up and having those combos, but I was like, maybe I should have done a little more research.
Right. Okay, well, here's go. My oldest is 11 and she's very artsy. And so we really like this HBO Max show called Stylish with Jen Alliance. Now Jen Alliance is probably familiar because she ran J. Crew for 26 years. So now she's starting her own new business. It's interesting because it's a hybrid of like interior decor and design and interior and fashion design. She's actually got a new job reimagining Rockefeller Center. So she's just this insanely creative person, but she's starting a new business. So she has these two co-workers or people that work for her, and they've got a great friendship. And so you get to see in each episode, they're going to a different project and they're all really funny. And it's almost like a competition show as well, because people are fighting to work for her. And as you can imagine, you would want a job with her.
Yeah.
So as an adult, you're laughing because their banter is funny. But as a kid,
you're going to be really inspired by the idea that you could have one job for 26 years and then take the lessons and then start something new. And that you don't have to just be in one box. Like, you're only an interior designer. She kind of like encapsulates the idea of a creative person being in several different pockets. So I like that show a lot too.
And then what if you had to pick, I know this is going to be hard, but your favorite show of this year?
Oh, well, if I were to talk about reality show, there's a show called House of Ho. It's on HBO Max. And it's called House of Ho, H-O. And it's about a Vietnamese family in Houston. It's basically the personification of that movie, Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
So it's this great family dynamic. So they have this couple came to the United States after the before the fall of Saigon. And they have three kids, Judy, Washington, and Reagan. And those kids, Judy and Washington have kids, and they're all named after presidents. So it's like Truman, Kennedy, Lincoln. And they are this very wealthy family, and they spend all their time together, and their dynamics are really funny. I love that. I just watched that the end of this year, and I think it's like really funny and uplifting and just got great relationships. And I think it's great to see some diversity on TV. So I like that one. Now for docuseries, I've really loved on HBO this series called Murder on Middle Beach.
Me too.
Isn't that good?
It's so good. And like, I became obsessed with trying to understand the gifting tables. Like, I like needed to bring my husband in. I'm like, all right, I really need to understand how they didn't know.
Okay, one other thing that I feel like you would be into is, it's kind of off the beaten path, but it's on the Stars channel, because Stars did a really good documentary about NXIVM called Seduced.
Oh, which I love really that good one.
But they have another documentary that's called The Cult of the Family. And I've been obsessed with this woman because there are very few times in history where a cult leader has been a woman. And this woman's name was Anne Hamilton Bird. And she had first of all, she had so many facelifts. Her hairline was at the very top of her head. So she's jarring to look at. But she was sort of, well, first of all, she spent some time in a mental health hospital and then reinvents herself when she gets out as like a yoga instructor and then synced up with this university professor in Australia. And the two of them began this church. And she basically convinced people to give them her children and then had sect members that worked at the hospital. And at that time in the 70s, it was very looked down upon in Australia to be a single mom. So the doctor at the hospital and the nurse were all sect members, and they convinced these single mothers, like, you really should just place your child for adoption, or they would just put something over their mouth and then they would wake up and the baby would be gone. So all these kids were being raised on this ranch in the suburbs of Australia, and she would make them dye their hair to look platinum blonde so they looked alike, and they would wear bows in their hairs, but they were being subjected, of course, to emotional abuse. But they're all adults now talking about what happened to them, and the story of this woman is just bonkers. It's really fascinating.
But there's also another one, right? Like Baby God or something like that.
Okay, so Baby God's really good, because Baby God is about this doctor named Dr. Quincy Fortier, and he was a fertility doctor in Nevada. He was one of the first kind of fertility doctors, but what he was doing was committing conception deception, where a client comes in and you're telling them, I'm going to use your husband's sperm, but he used his own sperm.
What?
Yes. So all of these,
like,
children
or something.
Oh yeah. But that's still happening. In fact, on my show, I interviewed Eve Wiley, and she found out through 23andMe that her biological father was her mother's fertility doctor. Because what happens is that in a lot of the, it's like the wild, wild west for a lot of these fertility doctors, they found that there's something called like combining sperm. So if the donor sperm is weak, you use someone else's sperm and combine them, and that makes for stronger sperm. So all of these people have been the victims because they think that the donor is this person, but it's actually the fertility doctor. So Baby God is exploring this case of Dr. Quincy Fortier, but also kind of expounding on like this wild, wild west of fertility law. It's kind of wacky. I used to do media consulting for law firms in my previous life. And one of my clients was a fertility lawyer. And she and her sister had a surrogacy practice, and they were found guilty of committing fraud as well. So it just shows you, like, the world of fertility is really the wild, wild west.
And that's, I mean, I know how crazy and my emotional ups and downs I was having through my fertility struggles. It's so sad. And also just like, you want to understand the mindset that somebody goes to and just the weak, like why go after somebody who's already feeling so sad, so upset, like unable to conceive. And then it doesn't make sense. You become a doctor.
I know.
You can help them. But
and really, also I think doctors who are also already sociopathic, you're combining sociopathic tendencies with people in positions of power who at some point feel like they're above the rules, right? Like the rules don't apply to them.
Well, what about the undoing?
I know. That's basically the same kind of pathology, right? Yeah. And also it's invading the sanctity of fertility and someone's growing someone's family. So that was another doozy. I couldn't wrap my brain around that one for a long time.
Well, I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. If you haven't watched it yet, you definitely need to watch it. I loved it until the final episode. I was mad. I was like, nope, that wasn't for me.
Yeah, because you're a justice person. That's why.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, I can't wrap my head around this. I'm not happy. Something that I have just started, but I only watched the first episode. And then a lot of people have told me, yeah, the first episode's good, but then it peters off, is Flight Attendant.
Yeah, I have not watched that. And I'm going to tell you why. I am so engulfed in the world of Unscripted that I am more inspired by true stories. I think that so, and I'm engulfed in it so long that when I see scripted, sometimes I'm like, oh, no one would ever act like that. And I get annoyed,
Make sense. So because we can't do anything on New Year's Eve, you know, there's less things that we're able to do. What do you think we should watch?
Oh my God, there's so many great series. There's so many docuseries. Docuseries really are the wave because you can binge them all. You know, episodic, unscripted television shows, you have to wait a whole week for another episode. And that can be painful because then you kind of forget about the show and then you got to get sucked back in. So if you're going to stay quarantined, there's nothing better, nothing more romantic than getting the person that you're with to get sucked into the same show. So, I mean, there's so many great docuseries there. There's true crime stuff about cults. One cult one that you would also love is called Holy Hell. This was a cult leader who had a compound in Austin, Texas. And you can't even write this stuff because no one would believe it. But he convinced all these people to move to the compound, and they were basically all doing things for him, like cutting up fruit into the shape of fruit every shapes for him each morning, like doing everything for him. And he would subject them to hours of, you're not gonna believe this, ballet. So you have adults wearing leotards who have no ballet experience, like yours truly, like I have no ballet experience. So imagine me on a compound, and he would make them perform these routines, and then they would have a whole production, but everybody in the production's in the cult. So there's like one person in the audience and the cult leader is the center of the show. And he's like closeted, and he has like all of this, like makeup and stuff, and he has all these men that he's doing things for, and he was subjecting them to abuse, but it was quieted because he wanted to present himself as this heterosexual man. Because by doing that, the women were kind of like entranced by him and wanted to be around him, but he was actually abusing the male parishioners. So there are all these layers to it, but the ballet part, I'm like, I cannot believe these adults are performing a ballet and they have no, like, you know, their feet are bloodied because they're dancing for, it's like Dancing with the Stars that's not on television.
And you don't want to be doing it.
No, exactly. And they all think it's part of their enlightenment that they're going to get to the clearing part and then they can like move on to the next level or something.
Oh my God.
Speaking of another one is Heaven's Gate. They have a documentary on Heaven's Gate on, it's HBO Max because I interviewed the director. So Heaven's Gate, do you remember that cult?
No.
You do remember that cult because they were the ones that were found in San Juan Capistrano or something, where they were all laying down with like blankets over their bodies and black sneakers.
Oh, it was in the 90s. So yes.
The guy that there were as a couple, well, they weren't together, but a man and a woman that ran this cult, and they were convincing people that if they followed their faith, that they would all move on to the next level. And that meant they would all basically commit suicide, and they would all jump on the back of the Hale-Bopp comet and move into space, into the next level. And so he was, apparently he had been a teacher at a school and had been in a relationship with a student and got busted. So he went out of his way to kind of diminish his sexuality. So all the people that joined this cult, they were pushed to be to look without sex. So it's like they would cut their hair real short into like bowl cuts and wear big clothes, and some of the men castrated themselves. And they were all really smart. So they had jobs in tech IT. So they were making money for the cult. And so they all were living in this mansion, and they took drugs and then washed it down with applesauce, and they did it in three shifts. So the people that the first people that died, the second group covered them with the blankets, and they all got a discount on sneakers, so they all wore the same outfits when they killed themselves. And there's a guy named Rio who was in the cult, but he wasn't there. They made sure that he got a call to come to the house, so he's the one that came and found all the dead bodies.
So you guys, if you are hooked on docuseries, true story, like all of these types of things, you have to follow Kate Casey. She has all the goods. She does so many updates. It makes it so simple to know what to binge. Thank you for coming on today and
helping. Oh wait, I have one more I've got to tell you about because I know that you're going to like it.
Okay.
Did you see The Weight of Gold on HBO?
No.
Okay, so I want you to watch that because Michael Phelps, I believe, executive directed.
Oh, yes, I did want to watch it.
Okay, good. That's good.
It officially came out?
It did, and it's really powerful. It's really powerful.
Weight of Gold, that's for sure. I'm putting it on my list, and we'll write up a list for you guys listening of all of these so you don't have to miss out on anything.
Yeah. Yet.
Thank you so much, Kate.
I love you. Bye.
Bye. Guys, to close out the show, I want to kind of go through every one of my producers on the show, and let's talk about our highs and lows on your favorite show of the year and the biggest. Danielle, you go first.
So this is very easy for me. My high was Emily in Paris. The reason being, I'm obsessed with it, could not stop watching it. I think I watched it in a day and a half, and I have no time, so that says a lot. I loved it so much, and I think the reason why I loved it is because I'm a big travel person, and I could not travel this year, obviously. So like going to Paris, even if it's just in TV world, was everything for me. I loved it so much. My least favorite is I just felt like there was so much buzz around Schitt's Creek, and I, for the life of me, could not get past episode 4. Like it was just like, sorry, not happening. Don't like it. Stopped right away. I was like, I couldn't do it. So yeah, those are my highs and lows. I guess I'll pass it to Tara. You go next.
Okay, so my highs, I did a little throwback and I started watching Scandal from the beginning, and I've never watched it. And I'm on season 6, and I started it like less than a month ago. So that's my high because I'm obsessed with Shonda Rhimes and big Grey's Anatomy fan. So I love that. My low also has to be Schitt's Creek. I got through the first season, and then I couldn't get through season 2, and I just stopped.
Teddy, I'm sensing you're a Schitt's Creek fan.
No, I wouldn't even try to watch it. I don't like comedies.
People love it so much. I just like, I don't know why.
I know, but Justin like gave me a tongue lashing that I needed to watch it. I mean, I think I'll do mine next and then you've got to go, Riley. But like, I think that my high, I was reminded how much I loved Morning Show. And I also loved The Undoing until the end, but I loved talking about The Undoing with my friends. So for me, a good show is like, you're all talking about it. You have a big opinion. You can't figure, you know, like we placed like actual Venmo bets on who the killer was. Like it was amazing. it created like something to talk about that was not about what's going on in the world around us. And so that I loved. My low, and this is going to be sad, especially coming from me, was The Bachelorette this season.
Why? I loved Tayshia.
Not her. I couldn't switch. It's too hard for me to have a transition in the middle.
I feel that.
And I loved her because I loved her on Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah. Like I'm a fan of her. It's just been having to switch mid-season was really hard for me.
What was interesting too is like, I think I was actually talking to Riley about this. Like literally when I think back on Claire, I'm like, that was 2 years ago, not a month and a half ago.
No,
like,
I have to be honest. I'm not even up to date.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time. And you know, I like DM with Claire. So like, I, you know, like her in general, but I had a hard time with the show. And then I was like, I don't know that I'm going to keep watching. And now I have to meet a new situation. I'm done. And that has never been me. Like I am on a group text that I could show you guys right now. That's called Batch Girls. And there's 9 of us that talk about it. And like, I was like, guys, I'm out this year. I'm out. I'll catch you at The Bachelor.
Matt James, January 4th.
All right, okay. Riley, you're up. I'll have to do mine. So I would say my high is I watch so much Love Island. I watch the UK. I watch Australia. I watch US. So much so that my roommate and I were like doing, you know, voices, like British voices. We were talking accents all over the place because we had watched it so much. But I just felt like it felt like the real world. We could watch Love. Like it had a little bit of everything. So that was my high. And then my low, I feel bad for saying, because you both said it was your high, Emily in Paris. I'm offended. I'm sorry.
You know what? It's now 2 against 2 because somebody else said that was their low as well.
It just was, it was a little too girly for me. I'm definitely more of a tomboy. I'd rather watch The Challenge or something like that. But it was a little too unbelievable, a little too much social media and a little too girly for me. So that was my low.
Burn.
Oh, shots fired.
Things are undecided. I feel like we need to have a, like, instead of a book club here, we need to have a watch list and each watch something that the other person doesn't actually want to watch. And then we report back.
I love it.
Thanks you guys so much for such a great year. And by the time I talk to y'all next, it'll be 2021.
Woohoo! I'm ready for it.
Believe it. Well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Teddy Teapot on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.